The Vinny White Show on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
Yeah, Ace, what are you going to do about it?
Evening, nice to be here. 6 minutes past nine, if you're listening in real time in Eastern Standard Time Zone. And just preparing myself for an hour-long show. My name is Vinny White. I'm here for an hour. What do you need to know? Phone number, that's probably helpful. 416-872-1010. You can phone on anything you like. Start talk 8255. And you can text the show. I've got a little text machine next to me. It's terribly clever. It's 71010 on that. And you just butt in where you like, really. It's fairly loose and unplanned. Not because I'm not a professional, although that is definitely up for debate. It's more to the fact that I think if you plan a radio show very tightly, it doesn't sound good. And many people listening to this would say if you don't plan it, it doesn't sound good either. But you know what? We're going to bash on. We're going to have a go. We've got me here on the microphone, and we've got Elliot pushing buttons. And he's got nimble fingers, that man. It's going to be a smooth-running, wondrous affair the next hour. Actually, that's a bit much. You should always under-promise, and then you can over-deliver. The next hour will be probably mediocre radio, at best. And if there's any problems, blame it on the snow. All right? I'm not sure how we can link the two, but there must be some way of doing it. I went to London last night. Not the one that I'm originally from. The other one. Well, I say the other one. There's plenty of them around. There's one in South Africa. East London. There's one in Australia. Basically, the British people, including myself, are terribly unimaginative. So when we went conquering the world, which, sorry about that, by the way, I just want to apologise on behalf of 64 million United Kingdom citizens for that whole, you know that we remember when we took over 2/3 of the world's surface through brutality, barbarity and stupidity. Usually wearing pith helmets and saying things like, oh, this land can't possibly be yours. Why don't you get back with a shotgun, which we often used. Can I just say sorry for that? I just think you should start a show like that, you know, get all the hostility out of the way. But we were very unimaginative. We went around the world saying, what should we call this? It's got a river. So London. Yeah, all right. And what I didn't know about London, Ontario, is it's got a River Thames. Did you know that? Yeah, it's got a River Thames. Now, perhaps you could text me, has Paris, Ontario got a River Seine? I don't know. Get on it. Elliot's tea. Look at him, hot on the buttons. He's already looking it up. So I went to London, Ontario last night for an event, which was successful. It was a bit of a pain in the ass to get there, to say the least. Don't know if you know. A little bit of the white stuff yesterday. I drove, which in retrospect was foolish. I just don't like getting the train. I like the fact you can have a drink on the train. But I don't like all the pomp and ceremony of the trains here in Canada. In fact, you have to get there early and there's an organised seat and some woman on a union budget, sorry, a union salary, unionised salary, gives you a packet of nuts. I don't want the nuts. I don't want you to wear a very expensive coat. I don't want to be treated well. I don't even want an allocated seat. Just stick me on there like what I'm used to from my country, where we just stick you on there like a sardine. And unlike Japan, we don't wedge you in, but we get pretty packed in there, and then off you go. No pomp, no ceremony, overcrowded. It's the way I like it. It's the English dream. So I don't like getting the train, and I love the fact that I just made a point about how I prefer to be in basically horrific accommodation and on a train. That was my defence for not liking your system. That's nice, isn't it? So anyway, I decided to drive. It was a stupid idea. I should have got the train, actually. I mean, it would have been nice to have a glass of wine, a packet of nuts, and to be treated like some sort of decent person, because the snowy roads was a nightmare. But it's supposed to be 2 hours from here, downtown Toronto, in the cool hipster paradise that I live, to London, Ontario. It took 4.5. It was emotional. It's very tiring driving in the snow, isn't it? Because you really got to think. And I did the fishtail thing a couple of times. I had a rental car. And I'm pretty sure it didn't have snow tyres. How is that okay? Is that all right? I'm not happy about that. Yeah, I did the fishtail thing. I was texting profusely, of course, all the way, you know, and making a sandwich and on Skype. But yeah, I fishtailed. Would you believe? Oh, and I was incredibly drunk. in case you've had a sense of humour bypass, all that, and most of this show is bull. So that's that. And got there. It was all right, I suppose. I've never been to London, Ontario. I don't know. I'd like you to tell me if I'm missing something. I noticed that you can get News Talk 1010 in London, Ontario, clear as a whistle. So I feel as if I probably don't, or I'm not going to do it justice. I didn't see a lot of it. I saw a convention centre. Stayed at the Hilton. Swanky. Nice. I like the fact that the guys there are dressed up as beef eaters, as they are in the London Hilton. London. I wish they would call it London On. It would help, you know, because it's just, it must be tiring if you live there. When you're travelling the world, where do you live? Oh, London, Ontario, Canada. It's too much. But it was all right. I went out last night. I was a bit late when I arrived, so I went out for a bit of food, just some sort of casual thing. And I went into a bar and I saw the lamest pub crawl I've ever seen. I hope this is not a reflection on London On, because I thought it was a joke. I thought I was on camera. About 20 people came in with hilarious comedy headdresses, you know, where they've got the reindeer antlers. Hilarious, right? No, it's not. Anything that's supposed to be funny is generally not very funny. Humour doesn't work like that. You know, look at old Delilah with the antlers. Gosh, she's a laugh. She's a card. So they came in and one of them was wearing a red nose. Nice touch. And I thought, well, you know, they're on a bar crawl. And there was a fella that stood at the front of it all and rang a bell and said, pardon the accent, I'm going to attempt one. And I have been told that it's horrific, so do forgive me, but I'm trying. He said, all right, this is awesome. I want you all to drink whatever you want. Have as much as you can. And when I ring the bell, we got to get out of here. You know the drill. So I thought, oh, this should be a bit of a laugh. Seeing lots of middle-aged people wearing antlers getting loaded. I think of the 30-odd people, I think two of them had a drink. The waitress came over and said, what can you get? And loads of women just said, I'm fine. So this is the lamest pub crawl I've ever seen. I couldn't believe it. I just walked out really sober. So I said to the fella with the bell, I said, sorry, can I just ask, what's this about? Is this people that have abstained from alcohol going to just torture themselves on an annual basis? And he said, no, we're all hammered. We've been doing this all day. I said, no, you're not. You know when people pretend to be drunk? Not that it's cool, by the way, kids. Not that I condone being drunk. And not that I mean, privately, I wish for my own entertainment they were all absolutely hammered and falling over, because it would have brightened up London On nicely. I think this is catching on, London On. Sounds a bit like the Lebanon. Might not work for the tourist board. So that's that. And it was a bit of a laugh, I suppose. Waitress in the pub, by the way, did something. I've never seen this done before. Is this normal? When did this become okay? She came over and she was carrying a lot of stuff at the time. And she dropped a knife and picked it up. And then she dropped a fork. And she said, oh, I just dropped cutlery everywhere. Hashtag embarrassing. What's that about? Hashtag embarrassing. It's weird that people tweet this stuff, but to use it in a sentence, I mean, come on, particularly to me, because do I look like the sort of bloke that would be, you know, savvy down with the kids tweeter? I've got a Twitter account. It is the most boring thing you could ever see. If you've got a bucket of paint, paint the wall, spend the rest of the evening looking at it, because it's much better than visiting me on Twitter. I use it every month. And yeah, I once worked for a radio station. My boss told me that I had to become more involved with social media, so I got it. I said, yeah, I've got a Twitter account. I don't think I used it once. Hashtag embarrassing. When did that become okay? 416-872-1010. Is this just one waitress in London On? Is waitress derogatory? Server? I always find barmaid doesn't go well at all in this country. No. Wench really doesn't go down well at all. So the server said that, and I don't know, maybe everyone's saying that now. If you ever catch me actually verbally saying something like that, you're listening to In-Depth News Talk 1010. Hashtag awesome. You know, if I ever say that, I'm going to tell you right now, you have the right to lynch me and beat me from an inch of my life and then deport me. So that's that. By the way, speaking of deporting, quick rant about this. I said on Facebook this week something derogatory about the speech patterns here in North America. I said something along the lines of, I just sat next to a woman that was driving me insane. She spoke like a valley girl all the way through. And a lot of people said, oh, that's annoying. And, you know, if you're not sure what I'm talking about the upspeak phenomena, which, by the way, is crossing the world. The ability to speak like this, every sentence goes up at the end. So if you're listening, you end up like a nodding dog. It's very annoying and I don't know when it stopped. It certainly started in Australia and, of course, in California. So as a woman doing that, and I wrote on Facebook, it's annoying having to sit next to this and listen to it. And someone wrote underneath, if you don't like it here in North America, you can always go home. And I thought about that, and I'd like to say this here now. I know I can always go home. There is no... But do you honestly think that I'm the sort of person that would then get there and go, well, this is fantastic. I'm at home here. Nothing is imperfect in London. England. You know? Do you think that's me? I'm a miserable bugger no matter where you put me. It's part of my thing. Some people hate it. Some people don't mind it. But nonetheless, it's not going away. So yes, I will go and live back there because I get annoyed by one thing. And then what do you want me to do? What do you think I'll be writing on Facebook then? I'm fed up with all the unicorns and rainbows and heaven that is Britain. No, I'm a miserable bugger there as well. So let me have my rant. Stop having a sense of humour bypass. If you had to sit next to someone in a restaurant that spoke like this all the way through, then you'd probably be upset. You'd have every right to be. Right, what happened this week? Mandela, the interpreter, what on earth was that about? So four things I'd like to talk about, if I may, talking about the Mandela interpreter. Four problems with him. We know that there's one significant problem. You've probably learnt. He was supposed to be an interpreter. Is it a signer, I should be saying? It's not an interpreter per se. He's interpreting the English language into sign. I don't know if... I'm sorry if I'm using the wrong term. But then again, the people that would be offended can't understand it. So the interpreter that was used in this scenario was, of course, an idiot. I think that's the only way of putting it. He was up there for nearly 4 hours non-stop. By the way, most interpreters or signers do 20 minutes and then switch over because it's extremely difficult. And how much was he paid for the 4 hours? Well, one of the arguably the biggest events in the world, next to the biggest delegates in the world, translating, apparently, the words. I should imagine he was on a fair whack. Yeah. You know what he got for that? $80! So what do you expect? You get what you pay for in this world, buddy cakes. So that's that. That's issue one. Of course, he should have taken breaks. Issue two is that he couldn't sign. The British Sign Institute said there was five things, and they list them here. Just have a listen to this. This is the five ways that you could realise that the man wasn't signing.
Number one, his lip pattern. Where was it? He didn't have any lip pattern. There was no talking through what he was listening to be able to back up with the signs. There was no lip pattern available. Number two, structure of the sign language. There was no structure to the conversation and the information that he was giving you. There was a set of repeated mime almost, but no actual structure. So even though you might not know the language of that particular country, you would understand that there is a structure and a flow to the sign language. Number three, body language. It was uncomfortable to watch because there was no body language. Usually, as you're signing, your body becomes a timeline. So lots of things that are forward in front of you are obviously in the future. Things that are behind you is in the past. You talked about a former president, but presented him in the future. So I was very concerned about why were you not using your body language appropriately. Number four, facial expressions. A really important part of sign language. It gives people understanding and more understanding of directional verbs and how somebody is presenting the information. So you need to have your eyebrows raised when you have a question, things like that. There was no facial expression at all to be able to read how someone felt about what they were interpreting. Number five, his eye pattern. I was really concerned about where he was actually looking at. He was looking around him and around at the surroundings. Usually when you're signing, you're actually thinking about the translation process and the linguistic changeover. So you would actually either be looking straight ahead of you or perhaps slightly down, so you're concentrating on what you have to interpret. He wasn't. He was looking all around him at everything else, which didn't show a level of concentration that you really would expect in such a historic moment.
So to recap so far, these issues that I'm having with this guy in this whole scenario. The first one, he was up there for nearly 4 hours non-stop. Most interpreters do about 20 minutes. The second one, probably the most important, he couldn't sign. Quite a big one. And by the way, since we're on that subject, it must have been times when, you know, let's say an hour in, he thought, have I done that one? You know, have I done that? Yeah, when Obama said Mandela was a great man, was he thinking, I might just do a dog barking, a silhouette of that? That'll do. Now, if those problems weren't already significant enough, I think they are, the South African broadcaster, this is the latest development, has claimed that he's previously faced charges ranging from theft to rape to murder. So that's all right. So that's good. The Telegraph, a British newspaper, has independently verified two of the charges of theft, one of which he received a conviction for in 1995, and one which he appears to have an outstanding arrest warrant. He's actually got an outstanding... He was reportedly given a 3-year sentence for the theft, but it's unclear whether he served any time in prison at all. And several charges have been laid against him, the earliest of which date back to 1994, were dropped as he was deemed to stand for trial, but he was deemed unfit to stand for trial. Now, that leads me to my final point. Why was he deemed unfit to stand for trial? Because, and I don't know how else to put this, he's bonkers. He is a bit cuckoo, to say the least. And if you don't think so, then listen to this.
I would like to tell everybody that if I've offended anyone, please forgive me. But what I was doing what I believe is my calling. I was doing what I believe it makes a difference in the country.
On behalf of the family, I would like to thank all the heads of states that are here. Thank you.
What happened that day? It was a very much, I don't know what could I call it. I see angels come to the stadium. And immediately I see angels come to the stadium, I start realizing that the problem is here. And the problem, I don't know the attack of this problem, how will it come? Sometimes I will react violent on that place. Sometimes I will see like things like chasing me. And then, you know, I was in a very, very, very difficult position.
So just in case you didn't get that, I was in a difficult position, he said. I thought I saw angels. They were coming towards me down through the stadium. And I didn't really know how to react. It was difficult and very pressurising for me. Because at the end of the day, I can react very violently. That can happen. So, was he the man for the job? Is the sort of question I'm throwing out there. Pretty easy one to answer, I would suggest. I don't mean to speak ill of his mental illness, and I feel sorry for him. I'm just saying he probably shouldn't have been doing it. You know what I'm saying? You know what? Go crazy. Chuck another $80 down. Get a different guy. Let's go bonkers. It was quite an important event, wasn't it? Quite important. When he was phoned, actually, by a lot of press, and the guy that you just heard there, the interpreter, signer, speaking, and he said, I'm an icon, I'm an icon. Why are you persecuting me? Leave me alone. And then hung up on everyone. Now, what I'd like to know is how this managed to happen. Now, I've been to South Africa, and I have to say, despite it being beautiful, it is one of the worst-run countries I've ever been to. Jacob Zuma, a convicted rapist, well done there, who is the president of that country, who has, I think, 4 wives. He had 6. He's down to 4. Is the man at the top of something that poor Mandela must have looked at in his last days and thought, oh, what has he done? All the hard work has basically been done, undone by this guy. And as a result, it shouldn't be that crazy and unexpected that things like this happen, because the whole place is stuck together with tape. It's a barking mad place. It's exciting. It's vibrant. It's wonderful. It's beautiful. The people are friendly and magnificent. The history is gorgeous and sometimes barbaric, but certainly interesting. And it's a fundamentally wonderful part of the world. But it's not very well run. So it probably shouldn't be a surprise when the spokesman of the National Prosecuting Authority said they're investigating this interpreter's past. He says, "We're looking for all the details. It's not something that you can just get like that," he said. "We deal with over 1 million cases a year. We're in more than just his name." Well, I can describe him for you. What do you want? Why can't you just look him up and all his criminal background with his name? Because if you can't, I'd say you might want to have a look at that system. What do you want? His height. I can tell you that as well. We know his full name and his address. Well, you can't just get a criminal background from someone's name and address and height and colour and background and paperwork concerning their mental aptitude. What do you want? I don't know. You can have his fingerprints if you want. He's right there. When asked about his extensive criminal record, the man said, "I don't have the details of that. Government has indicated that issues relating to that matter are going to be investigated." He confirmed that the state security did not look at all the criminal records, but probably most of them. What? That makes no sense. As part of the background checks they conducted on those involved at the memorial service. They might have overlooked a couple of things, like murder. But then, you know, it's not that serious, is it? In security screening, we look at a number of issues, they said. I can't go into those details now. That's a matter that's going to be dealt with. A transparent way of saying I have no idea what I'm doing. So there you go. Hello, Mo.
Hey, how are you, Vinny?
I'm all right. Yeah, how's life?
Good, thanks. Two things about the event having a giant green carpet to simulate grass was funny. The other thing is that Jacob Zuma, when Libya went into a turmoil, Gaddafi hid 102 tons of gold. And then when Gaddafi died, Zuma said, "I give it only to the guys who gave it to me," meaning you're not going to have it again.
Wow. Yeah, he is as corrupt and bent as a nine-bob note, isn't he?
Very interesting character.
Yeah. And when you look at the man at the top of a what could arguably almost be described as a regime in some senses, and you see him, it shouldn't be that massive a surprise that things aren't going that well in South Africa of late.
No, I don't think this is the way Mandela imagined things to happen after him. And I feel bad for de Klerk, who was the last prime minister, who actually brought some reconciliation along with Mandela to South Africa. But nobody mentions his efforts, which is very painful.
Thanks for your call, Mo.
Thank you.
You're listening to News Talk 1010. My name's Vinnie White. We're going to be here through till 10 o'clock. One text just came in and said, "I've got a brilliant bit of sign language for that guy. What about a nice stern middle finger?"
You're tuned in to The Vinnie White Show on NDEP Radio. News Talk 1010.
9:32, my name is Vinnie White. Got a few texts from people in London, Ontario, saying this is a beautiful town. Don't criticise it. I don't know if I really criticised it, did I? Didn't mean to, anyway. Oh, it was all right. It was okay. It was weird to cross the River Thames. It didn't look like the River Thames that I'm used to. I wouldn't have had to if it wasn't for the fact that the LCBO closed at 6 p.m. on a Saturday night downtown London. So they asked me to go south of the river to the LCBO there. LCBO, by the way, does that stand for Legal Cull on Better Offers? So many, isn't there? London, Brighton, Cornwall, Hull, Halifax, Edmonton, Chelsea, Newcastle, Newmarket. We are the most unimaginative race in the world. And it's so British, isn't it, to go all this way and see a completely different landscape and then go, "Well, it kind of reminds me of London. Why don't we call it that? Jolly good." I'm surprised they didn't knock up a cheap plastic version of the Houses of Parliament so we could really fit in. I don't know why we bother travelling around the world if all we do is want to be at home. At least call it London 2. London, the revenge. The slightly smaller London. All right, so Kanye West. He is a rapper. Now, I'll be honest. I'm not a massive Kanye West fan of his music. And when it comes to him as a person, I think he might be the biggest walking pair of genitalia I have ever come across. And if you have any doubts about that, and if your visceral reaction now is to defend him, for the love of God, please phone me on 416-872-1010 or defend him on 71010 if you're a Kanye fan. And I'm talking particularly about some of the statements he makes. And one that I heard this week blew my already fairly small mind. And it blew it out across... I actually was gobsmacked. And it's not often that I'm silent. In fact, there have been many people that would love to play fire, many a Kanye West clip at me in the hope that it would shut me up. Because this one certainly did. Just listen to this.
27 songs. That's a lot to go through. Like, I mean, just the preparation alone.
Okay, hang on there. So he's talking about the fact that Kanye West does 27 songs in a night on his new stage performance. Wait, and he's right. You're absolutely right. That's a lot of songs to do. Well done. Congratulations. So well done there. Also, I'd like to mention at this point, when they start talking about a mountain, what they're talking about is the fact that the stage for this production that has the 27 tracks in it has been modified, and they've built a very small hill, really, of which he climbs throughout the show at various intervals in a sort of way to give it a bit of drama. All right?
Does it change night to night? Because, I mean, just in general, 27 songs is a lot of songs to do every night. Do you feel...
No, it doesn't change night to night. It just changed the length.
Yeah.
Like last night, what people call a rant, I call a visionary stream of consciousness.
Stop there. Stop there. What people call a rant, I call a visionary stream of consciousness. Maybe that's what I do. I hate the LCBO. I apologize for that visionary stream of consciousness. All right, carry on.
It was longer than usual. When I get into those, I just meditate and I just act like I'm not even here. And I
What? So when he gets into those, what? When he gets into those songs or the visionary streams of consciousness, when he's talking, the stuff that falls out the back of a bull, he's not even there. We can see that when we look in your eyes. Carry on.
It was longer than usual.
Yeah.
When I get into those, I just meditate and I just act like I'm not even here. And I just say exactly what I say, exactly what I dream, the frustration.
I just say exactly what I say. Everyone says what they say. That doesn't mean anything. That's like people that accidentally say, I'm just talking out loud. Everyone talks out loud. That's what talking is.
It was longer than usual. When I get into those, I just meditate and I just act like I'm not even here. And I just say exactly what I say, exactly what I dream, the frustrations I have and the way we're going to overcome it. That's the only thing that particularly changes. Other times it's just a more athletic, like I'm just, you know, giving of my body on the stage. I'm putting my life at risk. Literally, when I think about when I'm on the Can't Tell Me Nothing, the coldest winter moment, like that mountain goes really, really high.
Whoa, whoa, stop there. Back it up there, sweet cheeks. You just slid something in. I'm putting my life at risk. That mountain, the plastic mountain that's been put in stage by people that have got, you know, health and safety officers looking at them. The mountain that isn't actually a mountain, that isn't a mountain, the small hill that's been put on the stage is something that's putting your life at risk. Well, I'm certainly sure that you won't go on to say anything more ridiculous than that.
And if I slipped and my leg happens, like, you never know. And I think about my family. I'm like, wow, this is like, you know, this is like being a police officer or something, or like war or something. Like you literally going out to do your job every day, you know, knowing that something can happen to you, you know, verbally from the press bashing you. Something can happen to you from, you know, people not liking you anymore because your records, you can actually slip on that stage. But it's like we walk in, you know, this tightrope and fighting for creativity and fighting for ideas and fighting for thought. And, you know, I'll explain to, you know, my daughter one day that, you know, me and her mother, we had to fight, you know, for this position that we'll finally have.
I feel so sorry for his daughter. One day, when she grows up, he's going to say, you know what, when I was back in 2013, I used to put my life on the line every day just so we could put bread on the table of our multi-million dollar house and the record label that I own. I put my life on the line for you. It was very much like, and I didn't know, you did hear what you thought, it was very much like being a cop or I think he said at war. The actual quote is this. I've got it written here. I'm just giving of my body on the stage by putting my life at risk. Literally, in case you thought it was metaphorically, he is literally putting his life at risk. He says, and I think about it. I think about my family and I'm like, wow, this is like being a police officer or something in war or something. Kanye West there comparing standing on stage and rapping, which I admit he's far better at it than me, comparing it to being at war. Isn't that nice? 416-872-1010. Mike, your thoughts, please.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I can't come on and say I like him. I detest him. He's a vapid, self-promoting twit. And you know something?
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but I strongly believe in karma. And, he may not have to wait till the next lifetime for that, because I understand he's marrying that Kim Kardashian.
Yes.
Yeah, that'll do him.
Yeah.
They deserve, talk about a couple that deserve each other.
Two of the biggest brains in North America really teaming up there.
Totally. Like, I enjoy your show. Thanks very much.
Take care, Mike.
Yeah.
It's like Christopher Hitchens and, I don't know, Stephen Hawking getting together, you know? It's a combination of brilliant minds. Or idiots. Hi, Liz.
Hi. You know, I would be humiliated if I was Kim Kardashian. Do you know Vinny? He's made her over to look like Jennifer Lopez. Like, I mean, who is he fantasizing about while he's having sex with her? In the video, Westbound, he made her go blonde, okay? She wears the pukey pink lipstick like Jennifer Lopez. And her breasts, he made her take her implants out and her breasts are smaller. You can check this all out on the video. Obviously, he's thinking about J-Lo.
Thank you, Liz. Thank you very much. Liz there. I don't even know where to start with that, so I'm just going to move on. that was weird. Okay. I mean, it's funny that you picked that example for why he's an idiot. I think comparing his work on stage as a rapper to literally, quote, putting my life at risk, is like being a police officer or something in war or something. Eloquent, by the way, isn't he? Well spoken. For a man that uses his mouth for a living, you'd think he does a little bit better. I don't know about what he does in his private time. I wasn't talking about that. I was talking about on stage. I think we know Liz will know exactly what he does orally with Kardashian. She seems to have an infinite amount of knowledge about his private sexual life. Thank you for putting your life on the line, Kanye West. Every day for all of us. Thank you. I know that being a rapper is tough work. I've tried to rap and it's really difficult. And I find it very life endangering. Most people don't realise how difficult rap is. If you haven't got a chair to sit on, you could just collapse and hit your head. Having seen many rappers on the capitalist game of winners and losers MTV Cribs, a show designed to make you feel as if suicide isn't necessarily a bad option, by the way. I don't think it was him, but it was a fellow rapper who used Evian mineral water to flush his toilet, which made me actually so angry that I then vowed to get rid of my television. And believe me, I've never looked back. Don't worry about the kids dying in Africa that you are. Don't worry about it. And how the states let you down and the police should be effed. Since you're accustomed to danger and your life as an international rapper, by the way, I'm strongly encouraging you immediately to go and join the military. Why not? If you think that you're already like you're in a war or something, then why not pop off to Afghanistan, where women and men risk their life every day and then return home to a living war in their own heads very often? And when the Taliban start shooting at you, perhaps Kanye West will just stand up and let the words flow. Maybe the words will shield him. It could be something like, I'm Kanye West, I'm wearing a flak vest. I love risk, though I'm scared of an egg whisk. I talk rubbish all the time and undermine the importance of being on the front line. I've never been a cop, but I'll still rise to the top of the most annoying people in the world ever. Kanye, shut your face. Move on. We'll be back in a minute.
You're tuned in to the Vinny White Show on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
All right, about 10 minutes left, so I'll start with this. If ever you want to download this radio show as a podcast, a free MP3 file that you can walk around with, then you can. VinnyWhite.co.uk is the website. VinnyEY White.co.uk. And, Vinny's my name. apparently it's criminal, because every time I tell anyone, they're like, oh my God, are you sure you're not Italian? Yeah, I'm still sure. Every day. Every day I'm more sure. I got an email here from someone that listened to the podcast, Ian in Mississauga, got in touch with me. He says, dear Vinny, I was dismayed to see in your collection of Christmas songs, you had left out some wonderful, and by wonderful, I mean bloody awful, songs. So please allow me to add my personal best. And by best, I mean worst. Ian, you're my kind of listener. I love you dearly. And if you were here, I would embrace you. Probably naked. Just to really push that message home. You've sent me a list of some songs, your worst ever Christmas songs. Some of them I'd never heard in my life. And they've done great justice to my list a couple of weeks ago. I think mine were pretty bad. The Cheeky Girls particularly was, I think, bloody awful. But you have somehow managed to find songs that are even worse. And that is a remarkable thing. So let's begin with Jillian Hall, who is a WWE wrestler. So she's probably a really good singer.
I'll be home for Christmas.
About another 4 seconds.
You can count.
And actually, that's enough. Stop. I mean, if ever you don't like anyone, tie them to a chair and just get Jillian Hall in the room, because she's quite big and heavy and she can sit on them and sing. I'm sure they must be using that at Guantanamo, surely. Number two, Alvin and the Chipmunks. This is the sort of thing, earlier on when I was talking about antlers on your head are supposed to be funny, and they're not funny because they're supposed to be funny. I feel the same about the Chipmunks.
All right, you Chipmunks, ready to sing your song?
Oh, say we are. Yeah, let's sing it now.
I'm sure this will sound
okay,
right.
Simon.
Okay.
Okay, Theodore.
Okay.
Okay, Alvin. Alvin. Alvin!
Okay!
Can you believe this ever not only turned into a song, but the entire Alvin and the Chipmunks thing exploded? Where is the justice? There's albums of this crap. William Hung did the Little Drummer Boy. William Hung is that kid that stood behind you at high school, and whenever the chorus was on and there was singing going on, you involuntarily punched him in the throat. You remember him? Yeah, this is him singing.
They told me,
David Bowie must have actually got violent when he heard this.
A newborn king to see,
Bing Crosby went postal.
Our finest gifts we bring,
actually makes Kanye West sound pretty good.
Today.
All right, knock it on the head. I can't cope any more of that. Now this I shouldn't like, because I'm not a massive fan of cats. I think that's lost me half my listeners. I'm not. I'm sorry. It's the way it is. I'm not a massive fan of cats. And the concept of cats singing is something that puts shudders down my spine. But for some reason, I'm yet to understand, I quite like this. It's the Jingle Cats with White Christmas. Sounds good so far. You know what this needs? Cats.
When the dog comes in.
If you've... I don't know why that's funny. If you've just tuned in, you are listening to In-Depth Radio News Talk 1010. Although they might change the slogan when they hear this particular piece of radio. Is there a dog that comes in? There's a little twist.
In a bit.
Yeah.
Almost.
I'm sure it's worth waiting for. Oh my God. That's the biggest anticlimax since I thought I was on Viagra. Turn it off. turn it off. So that's the, what is it? The Jingle Cats. Ian from Mississauga. I don't know where you found time to find all these. They're brilliant. With White Christmas. Well, I'm sure it's going to get better. And, you know, when you're at karaoke and you hear someone and you think, this is why I don't go to karaoke. And then you find out that some people actually get record contracts and it makes you angry. Oh, this guy is perfect. This is Steve Malden.
Oh, holy night. Stars are brightly shining.
What?
It is the night. Of our dear
of you what?
Savior's birth.
Of our dear Savior or dinner Savior?
Long lay the world.
Sounds like he's nervous.
In sin and error pine.
He's like that kid off The Simpsons that works in the fast food store. I don't know why he speaks
and
like that.
So bad.
Steve Malden there proving that you can be absolute crap and still get a record deal. Now, one thing that's definitely been missing here is a good bit of wob, 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 wob. This is Diplo and Mad Decent with A Very Decent Christmas.
Yeah!
It's going out to Toronto, yo. Word to your mother and reindeers. Big shout out to Rudolph on the 401. Word. Bring it, bring it. Sounds like chickens getting killed. Hope it's hello. Oh, I guess it's a turkey. All right, keep going. I think it's going to kick in. Yeah, man. Something's weird going on. I've just had about 20 people on Facebook pop up and ask to be my friend, which means that people are actually listening to this show. My God, we really do have no competition. Diplo and the Mad Descent there. Is it going to kick in ever? That's going to be great on this one. Too much. Yeah, reasonable. Anticlimactic again, really. RuPaul, always known for being perfect in every way when it comes to vocals. RuPaul, the red-nosed drag queen.
All right, y'all.
Word
Here's
up.
Here's the story of the legendary queen. Miss Dasher, Dancer, Prancy, Vixen, Lady Comet, Cupid, Donna, and Blitzenia. But child, do you remember the fiercest drag queen of them all?
Yeah!
RuPaul the red-nosed drag queen.
It's not egotistical, is it?
Had a very shiny nose. And if you ever saw
it's not narcissistic, is it?
You would even say it glows.
Imagine that in the meeting with the management.
All of the other drag
when she slash he came up with this. So I've got an idea. I was thinking, I'm RuPaul, and that's pretty close to Rudolph. Shall we? Yeah! It'll be a hit record. So, thank you for putting up with what was probably a little bit torturous towards the end. Always a pleasure, never a chore. Edward Keenan is next. You're listening to News Talk 1010. See you next week.
Bye.